You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. There's a new book about the collector Hans Sloane, which reminds us really of two things. First, the extraordinary energy behind the man whose collections form the basis of the British Museum and quite a few other collections as well. He was, in many respects, the greatest of all the collectors. But also we're reminded of the fact that this collection, others like it, were linked, at least in part, to slavery and to imperialism, and maybe celebrating isn't quite the right thing to do. James Del Borgo is here, who is a historian and author of Collector's World, The Life and Curiosity of Hans Sloane. He's a professor at Rutgers University in the US. And Dr. Martha Fleming's here as well, who's a research associate on Reconstructing Sloane, which is a project at the British Museum. Morning to you both. James, first of all, why did you decide to write the book? Because, I mean, he's a character, isn't he? When you think of Sloane Square in London, he's a character people vaguely know about, but somewhat forgotten, I suppose. Is that an unreasonable thing to say about him?
No, I think that's absolutely right. It's intriguing that Sloane's name is so famous, but so few people know what he actually did. I think so few people actually associate him with the British Museum. I was astonished to learn that the last biography on Sloane had been published in 1954, and while curators in our museums had done magnificent work over the years on the collections, the story had really gotten buried in later history.
So what is the story you're telling us?
Well, I think the story that I'm telling is an interestingly complicated one, because this is the person who not only founded the British Museum, but really articulated for the first time in a period where there were no public museums, the ideal of free, universal, public access to museums and their collections. So it's an extraordinary legacy of institution building in the Enlightenment in the 18th century. But what drew me to the story is the fact that it is connected to other parts of history that we don't always associate with the pursuit of science, knowledge, and enlightenment, as you've said, slavery and imperialism. Sloane went to Jamaica in the late 17th century. He amassed a great collection of specimens, and he ultimately married a woman by the name of Elizabeth Langley Rose, whose fortune derived from her first husband's plantations. So slavery is a big part of this story, and what I think is so important is to grapple with the complexity of Sloane, because he gives us enlightenment, but we have to see where that enlightenment comes from.
What's your view of him, Martha Fleming?
Well, I think that his greatest contribution to science was actually the what he expressed to the Abbé Bignon in a long correspondence, where he outlines that the organization of things and the information that attends to them is actually the origin of so many disciplines that we now understand today. So he was a guy who understood that things have meaning, not just value. And that's the kind of complexity that James is able to really tease out of what was an extraordinary life.
And when we talk about collecting, I mean, you think of going somewhere and seeing something interesting and buying it or stealing it or whatever and bringing it back. Actually, he bought whole collections that had already been collected, didn't he?
Well, I think that is part of what makes him special, that he understood that the value was not just in the things, but in their organization. And with the practice that he had over a 70-year period of collecting and cataloging and collecting the objects and catalogs of others, he actually was beginning to relate information science, as we now would understand it, to the correlation and juxtaposition of things against each other. And this kind of cracking open of meaning for us that Sloane did, James has managed to do with his book, so that we actually understand the value of all those juxtapositions, all that morphological comparison between different kinds of leaves that actually gave us the Linnaean system
It was an extraordinary period of history, wasn't it, James O'Borgo? You think of him and others, other collectors, lesser collectors as well, this incredible kind of moment where we worked out what was going on, as it were.
Yes, indeed. This was a process that was made possible by Britain's increasing imperial reach. The extraordinary thing, I think, as Martha says, something very important there, which is that Sloane, in a way, laid the groundwork for what would later become specialized, pursuit of knowledge, geology, biology, anthropology. The fascinating thing about what is expanding at this period in history is that is matched with a universal approach. Sloan tried to collect in all of these different areas what we would regard as separate disciplines. Now, and that's one of the reasons I think that he's fallen out of view.
And do you come down on the side of saying this could not have happened without imperialism and slavery, or is it more complicated than that?
It could not have happened to obtain specimens from the East India Company, from India and China. It could not have happened without the South Sea Company trading slaves in places like Cartagena with settlement in the Americas. And that is the historical record. It did happen that way. But there's an extraordinary synchronicity between this geographical reach and also, as Martha says, the intellectual reach of an architecture that was then universal, then got divided up into different museums. And the fabulous thing about the work that Martha's been very instrumental in driving forward, this attempt to reconstruct Sloan, and in fact to come back to him as somebody very valuable who was attempting to unify knowledge.
James Del Borgo and Dr. Martha Fleming as well. Thanks both very much.
Thanks very much.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.